Morning. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Feeling good? I'll tell you what, you're looking good. I can barely see, though, so it's like you got that glimmer of like an angelic-like. I like that, though. It looks good on you. It looks good. And especially the further you get back, you know, I certainly can't see you, but anyway, you get the credit of the beautiful people up front, and so that's nice. Man, I'm excited. I'm excited about our seventh birthday. This is huge. So thank you guys for being here with us and celebrating this amazing day and celebrating together as a family. We've come a long way to be here, and so I love that we're even in this series that we're in, From Pain to Purpose, because I'm telling you, this is where it all comes from. As we've been applying, Allie and I, my wife and I, have been applying these principles in our lives, God has just blessed us and blessed us with you. You are the blessing. You are the purpose. And that is how God designs us, is that he works us out of us and himself and his heart inside into us. And it's really all about others. It's all about you. It's all about the people one day you will minister to as well. And so this is why we exist right here, and we're going to have a good time today celebrating that, or celebrating you and celebrating family. We are truly Thrive Community Church, and we're all about building community with one another. And so we have a lot of amazing and fun things to do today, but I want us to not miss the moment that we're in and grasp what we are talking about and we've been talking about for 10 weeks. But also, I need to take a moment to really thank a lot of the people who have set up and worked hard for today to be today, okay? So if you'll allow me, Pastors Stephanie Ferris, Pastor Deb, Pastor Christian is up in the worship team. They've just been killing it getting ready for this. Ashley and Mitch Pate, my wife Allie, Zay and Britt Ridgel, Pastor Zay of our youth, and Brittany, Peggy Rattery, Sergio and Destiny Gutierrez, Daniel Guerrero, Sharon Metcalf, Pete and Edelina Garcia right up here up front, Chris Bracken, our transition speaker for the day, Tammy McKibben, who is up on platform, Kyla Smith, Stephanie Duarte, Cassandra Castillo, who is up here, Kevin and Shauna Brucker, who you never see Shauna, you never see Kevin, they're just always in the back behind the scenes working everything out. Terry Sanders, Chuck Crichton, and George Duncan, all of them have been giving their life away. And that doesn't even mention all the people that they've rallied to make this happen. And so all of you guys who you didn't get called out, but you've made this thing happen, and we recognize that. And we see you out there, and it's very important. And this is part of the context of what we're talking today, because it's as we begin to apply the gifts that God has given us, God begins to mobilize us and work us through the details of our lives. And so if I can just start right now with our series, make note, because I'm going to reference this maze, because life is like this, from pains that God navigates us through to purpose. And when we don't get that, we really miss that there is actually a purpose in the pain. Even though God doesn't cause the pain, it is allowed. It's life. Life happens, and life is full of pains. It's how we navigate that pain that really allows God's favor to flow through us towards the purpose that he's created and destined us for. And so I'm going to break that statement down today. But God uses these 10 tests that we've been talking about. We've talked about over the last 9 weeks, and I'm going to try to remember, the pride test, the pit test. We talked about the palace test, the purity test. We've talked about the prison test, the prosperity test, the prophetic test. We've talked about, if anybody can help me, one other test. What was it? The pardon test. Thank you. The pardon test last week, which we talked about forgiveness. How could I forget that? And the one we probably practice the most, right? Especially if you're breathing. There's always something or someone to forgive, and that's just a part of life. And the more we do, the more we're susceptible, more we're reasonable. We become reasonable with others and accepting of others and their stuff, because people are hurting, and hurt people hurt people, and sometimes it hurts, and we accidentally hurt people, and we need to ask for forgiveness, and we need to give forgiveness. We talked about that because God, in advance, gave us mercy and grace. He forgave before we even deserved it, and we don't ever deserve it. And so in the same way we have freely received that forgiveness, we should always also give that forgiveness. And I'm not saying it's always easy. I can still be angry and forgiving you in the process of forgiving you, but as a by faith discipline, I have to forgive. And I have to work on that growth in forgiveness as well. That's the pardon test. And so today we're talking about the purpose test. It all builds up to this because, and like I said, all these character tests are to shape us because purpose always has to do with other people. It shapes our character so we're prepared to be able to serve well, lead well, minister well to others. And everything is all about, God's heart is always about others. And so purpose, which we are designed with by God, is all about others. And so God is developing our ability to be sustained and to be strong enough and humble enough to minister to others with his heart. And so, unfortunately, it takes a lot of pain because we kind of grow up selfish. And we're born selfish from the time we're born. We just want what we want, and that's all we want, and we want it right now. And we don't have enough of it, ever. And we're just raised that way. We are naturally born that way. And so God has a different purpose in all of the pains that we discover along the way. So we've been talking about Joseph, and if you'll remember, Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. He was brought out of slavery and purchased and went into Potiphar's family. Now, he was around 17-ish whenever he had a dream. About 39 is whenever he was in a place for Pharaoh, and he interpreted two dreams for Pharaoh. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Now, they had 7 lush years, and then there were 2 years of famine whenever Joseph's brother started coming to Egypt to buy food because there was no food in all the land. And so at this point, Joseph is 39 years old, and Joseph's brothers are coming to him, and Joseph brings them, the brothers, into him, into his presence. And so that's where we're going to pick up the part of the story. We've already passed part of this to get to the pardon test, but we referred back to how Joseph must have already pardoned his brothers because of this scenario right here we're about to talk about today. So in Genesis 45, 3 through 8, it says this, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph.'" He revealed himself to his brothers. They didn't recognize him. "Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me." God sent me before you to preserve life. Not only did he send, not only did Joseph realize, "You didn't sell me, God sent me. And he sent me to preserve life. He sent me for others. In fact, he sent me for you, the very person that you thought you were hurting me, you were actually helping me and putting me into God's plan." Boy, that'll bless you, won't it? Work with me. "For these 2 years, famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which they will be neither plowing nor harvesting." Next. Come on. Of course it's not going to work today. And "God sent me before you to preserve a posterity." God sent me before you to reserve a posterity for you in the earth. Now I want you to just think about this. The very person that you had to forgive last week, or people. Today, this week, you've found so much healing from it and understanding and revelation that you're now seeing that, oh, wait, they didn't hurt me. God was sending me through that situation to actually reserve posterity for that person. Ouch. That's the revelation I needed today. Thank you, Pastor. I can go home now. Where's the fishing tournament again? "God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Don't forget that, by a great deliverance. That is huge. That is processing pain for the sake of maturing to serve God and serve others. Ultimately, that's right there in the text, why we all exist. And that's also right there in the text, every one of our challenges here on earth. And it's also a decision-making point for every one of us in that gap, in that space of life, that we decide what we're going to do, how we're going to handle life, how we're going to handle our situations, our circumstances, past, present, and future, and what we're going to decide the outcome of our life to look like. And God sent me. So now it was not you who sent me, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all of the land of Egypt. And I believe that once God showed Joseph his dream, he knew that he had a purpose. Joseph knew from 17, there's a purpose behind this dream. And that no matter what took place, as long as he was faithful through everything and all adversity, that God would cause this dream to take place. God would see him through. I think Joseph grabbed that. And if he didn't, somewhere along the way he did. And the essence of the purpose test is to understand that life is full of circumstances that are ultimately impregnated with favor. It's going to have ups and it's going to have ups. It's going to have downs. It's going to have challenges. It's going to be full of dead ends. It's going to be full of turnarounds. It's going to be full of, like the maze that you saw, discouragement, encouragement. It's going to have a little bit of everything. But in every one of those moments are purposed and on purpose to shape you, to give you a decision-making moment in the moment, or at least the season that follows that it is embedded in, that will allow you, that calls you to shape your decision, your character of how would God ask you to do this, handle this, what does his word say, what is his voice saying, so that God can ultimately mold you and shape you as we are on the potter's wheel, so that you will become the very designed person he has created you to become. Yes. And in all of the situations, all the trials, there is nothing left but an opportunity to be grateful and humble and thank you and thankful to say, thank you, God, for this situation. I can't currently understand it, but I want to. How do I navigate this? That's the essence of what God has designed us and created us to do. And that's what we're here for. But in order to do that, number one, I'm going to give you four things today, is believe that you have a purpose. Believe that you have a purpose. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And in order to believe that you have a purpose, first of all, you have to believe that the person who created you is purposeful. And because he's purposeful, he creates everything with a purpose. And if God is the one who created you and he is purposeful, then there's no space to not have purpose. You are designed, absolutely designed for purpose. Let me just give you an example. Over here, and I hope he doesn't get upset with me. I'm not going to damage it. I can't afford it if I do, and we don't have insurance. But this thing right here, it has a designer. And it has been designed. And it has been designed for a purpose in which the designer created it, designed it to fulfill. Now, I don't know all the things, but I do know that it could just sit there and do nothing and look really pretty. I don't think that's what the designer had originated or even cares for it to be do. Or it could lead people away from God. Or it could be used to lead people to God. There's three options. And I believe yours are the same. You could sit there and do nothing. You could lead people away from God. Or you could learn your design and be useful by God and lead others to God. But ultimately, that's the decision right there. So I've got to believe that I have a purpose. Otherwise, I'll just sit there. Oftentimes when I'm sitting there, I'm disgruntled, and I end up leading people away from God. So I want you to catch something. I can't just sit there. And number two, I have to understand that God is in charge. He's in charge. He gets to decide. And what Joseph came to understand was that ultimately, no matter what happened to God, to him, God was in charge. God was going to get to decide the outcome. Joseph knew that throughout every experience, ultimately, God has a trump card. Oh, this happened to me, but God has a card. But God has the last say. This happened to me, but God is in charge. My wife and I, we play spades a lot with my pastor and his wife and with other friends now. And a lot of times we're just talking and laughing and building relationship through playing spades. Anybody played spades? You know how to play spades? Five people in here play spades? Are you kidding me right now? We're starting a spades tournament right now. Go to Walmart, somebody, and get some. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be, you're going to find out what the problem is in the church right now. I'm about to tell you. I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. So my wife and I first started playing spades a long time ago. Maybe we had a child already. Maybe we didn't. We were in our bedroom, our first house, and we were sitting there. I'm teaching her how to play spades, and we're playing, and she wants to lay down the spade. I said, listen, you can't play a spade until it's been laid. What do you mean? I don't understand. You have to follow suit. Well, there's a problem. Now, you know, anyway, a whole other message just broke out of this. We're going to have a message series called Playing Spades. And so my wife, it dawned on her, she goes, she's from another country, she goes, that's what it means to follow suit. I'm like, boy, if you can get that in a marriage, that's really good. What are we talking about, spades or marriage? What are we talking about? But it feels like that in the maze of life that, man, I just don't know how this is all going to work out. And usually, it is in that wondering, it's that space that we have to work, we have to work ourselves out of us, meaning we have to get to the end of ourselves so finally we'll come to a place where I can't figure it out. God, you've got to do it. Well, thank you. That was the design of the issue anyway, that you come to him immediately. And God is training us to come to him quicker and respond the way he desires and has already designed for us to respond quicker. And then he shows up in the moment and he shapes us, he transforms us, and he helps us to make God-like decisions faster. And in those moments is whenever he begins to navigate us to our ultimate purpose in which he's created us for. So it all has to do with coming to him in every situation. And so nobody else, though, is in control of your life. God does have charge, but he allows you to make your own decisions. But he's also always allowing tests to pop up so that he can pass you or shape you into the ultimate destiny or purpose he's created you for. So you can decide how long it takes for you to get there even. No one is actually keeping you from walking out your purpose. And when God designed you to do something, he did it on purpose, and he has solutions for every one of life's seasonal problems. And he wants us to learn, and if we're going to ultimately serve his desired purpose for our lives, which has to do with others, he wants us to learn to come to him with kingdom solutions for every situation. And unfortunately, it has a lot of pain connected to it, because the pain is what should draw us to him so that we come to him for the solutions that he wants to impart on earth. It's really good. But you're the only one that can stop your purpose. You're the only one that can keep you from your God-given purpose. God is so kind, though, and gracious and merciful that when you get off track with him and you start to get frustrated and you throw the hat down and you say, I'm done with this stuff. I'm no longer searching after the Lord. I'm no longer going to pray. I'm no longer going to serve. I'm no longer going to, you fill in the blank, and you go your own way and you come over here and you decide to do everything else your flesh wants to do. And then you realize, well, that sucks. I mean, forgive me. Because it does. And then you realize, maybe I'll give God a chance again. And he's like, come on, son. I'm so glad you came back. In fact, he was already waiting. He was already developing his response for you to how to get you back on track. You got to understand that. So many times we get stuck out here and we're frustrated and we're sad and because we left and walked away from God and we're feeling guilt-ridden and condemned and shamed. And God's like, that's not God. That's the voice of the enemy that drew us away from God. And we get caught up in a trap, deception. And God is already trying to get us back over here. He's whispering, get you back over here. Come on back over here. It's time to get started. He can get you back on track as soon as you come around, come back to him. And guess what? You don't have to jump through a bunch of loops and hoops and religious practices to get back on the track in which you left. You just come back to God humbly. In Genesis 45, it says, notice this, it says, but now, do not therefore be grieved. This was Joseph, and I'm repeating some verses. Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Now that's maturity. Verses 7 and 8. And God sent me. Notice God sent me. God sent me before you. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. It was not the person or the event that got you into the situation in which which caused you frustration, but it's God who has given you an opportunity to seek him to find a kingdom solution to develop you and shape you towards your ultimate purpose. Maybe God was delivering you from the situation. Sometimes we fall so in love with something that's good, and God has to cause something or allow something to happen that's very painful so that we'll get into God's plan. Joseph was betrayed by his brother, sold into slavery, lied about with Potiphar's wives, put into prison, but all the while he knew that God is ultimately in charge of the purpose on his life. And if he will just be faithful, even in the painful times, that God would play that trump card and cause things to happen for his good. He knew this. Sadly, there are a lot of Christians, though, that believe they will never be able to do what God has called them to do because of what somebody else did to them, or what their pastor has said to them one time, or what their spouse has said or did or wouldn't do. They're stuck in this, it's because of them I can't. That's not God's plan. That's not true. That's not even factual. Because God has given you the ability to decide how you will handle the current situation, difficult or great, in seeking him and his wisdom to navigate any of life's and all of life's problems. And it's in that process right there that you begin to find God's plan for your situation. Can I just tell you right now that it's that situation that God is using to give you wisdom for the future purpose in which he's designed you for? And the more we try to choose it on our own, in our own wisdom, in our own knowledge, in our own understanding, the more we stay in that trial, in that cycle. And it's not the situations that's the problem, it's the poor solutions that you have to the situation that's the problem. But the better our solutions get to the same situation, because we seek God for solutions from the kingdom of heaven to impart here, the situations change because our solutions change. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know you are called according to his purpose. You are. You are. And if you don't know you are, you will sit over there like that guitar. That kind of rhymed. I didn't know. Worked. Remember that at night when you're laying in bed wondering. You are called to a purpose. And it's not just to sit there. It's not to watch everybody else work. It's not to wonder what it is that they're doing, how they got there. It's not to even judge them because they've been put into a place that you wish you could have. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my God's word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which God sent it. And before you were born, God spoke you into existence. We talked about the prophetic test a couple of weeks ago. God has a word for you that he's already spoken, and that word is spoken to you, about you, towards for his ultimate purpose in which he's created you for. And only you get to decide if it's going to return void. But on his account, in his decision, and with all of his power and his grace and his mercy, it is impregnated with the ability to return back to him fully fulfilled. But he can't make you do something that you don't want to do. You can sit there and do nothing. You can grumble and lead people away from the Lord, or you can start being useful for the very thing the designer created you for, and you can start leading people to the Lord. You got three options. And no excuses. Absolutely none. And God has spoken a word over you. He has spoken a word over me. He's spoken a word over my life. He's spoken a word over many of you that you've grasped. He's spoken a word over every one of you, and some have not yet to grasp. And because God has spoken you into existence according to the good works, Ephesians 10, which he created you for, there is purpose all over you. Because there is purpose all over you, in every one of life's situations, there is already a God-given solution full of wisdom to help you navigate your circumstance, which is purpose to design you for your ultimate destiny in life. So believe that you have a purpose. Understand that God is in charge. Number three is discover your gift and your direction. So when we discover our gifts and we actually start deploying them, all of a sudden, God begins to open up doors that weren't open before, because now we're using his gifts, we're discovering them, we're deploying them, and we're learning how to use them, and we're realizing, wait a minute, I have fulfillment in this area, but ultimately, God is shaping my character and my heart for others, for you, and it's in that gap right there, because I chose to discover and then start to use those giftings, God begins to open up doors which are in the direction of the purpose in which he's designed me for. And these are doors that will not be opened until I choose to start discovering and then deploying, because when I'm sitting there doing nothing, I don't play well. Don't play at all. But when somebody starts to give me some understanding of how to do, and I start walking in that, and I start discovering, wow, I'm kind of gifted in this area. And I have an interest that starts to well up inside of my spirit man, because I am a spirit man having a natural experience. You are a spirit being having a natural experience here on earth. And once you start to understand how you were designed spiritually, your life naturally would become better. And so when I start to discover and develop the gifts in which God has given me, and I start to deploy them, and I'm starting to feel the value of God working through me for the sake of others, destiny and purpose are all over that. And he starts to open up doors that I grumbled with and about before that they wouldn't open. But because I started being useful, God started shaping me and he started opening doors that I'm so thankful now that humbly they're open. Only you get to decide. Will you discover your gifts and deploy your gifts and develop your gifts for the sake of others? And will you discover the harvest that God has already set aside for you? Romans 12:4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy to the portion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And this is one of the main reasons we have Next Steps every month, is so that you can discover God's design on your life. Your gifts have an opportunity and a space to deploy them with training so that you can develop them. And in that process, God begins to open up doors and start to give you vision for your life and fulfillment for your life. And so the very part of your life that was stagnant before starts coming alive because you start using and becoming the design that you were intended to be. Man, I just relieved a lot of depression off of many people. Can I tell you what the depression is? It's anger towards turned inward, but the problem is you're thinking about yourself too much. I've been there for a long time, and it stinks. But when I started serving others and taking my mind off of me, boy, it sure was fulfilling. And this is the reason that we have this every month. And so it's in this commitment to God and developing and deploying our gifts that God begins to shape that design. And this is what we all miss. This is what we all need. This is all what we all long for. I want to be shaped. I want to be shaped. I want to be grown. I want to be grown. I want that position. I want that role. I want to be able to do that. Well, it's not done in the sidelines of life. It's done in the action, in the growth, in the overcomings of the pains and the situations, in seeking God for solution and not giving up and being diligent, being steadfast, and continuing to grow in humility. This is the design of God, because God actually resists the proud. Many are opposing God right now because they're proud. I'm too proud to do that. I'm not going to do that. I won't. Listen, if you can't clean a toilet, you're not ready to lead. Amen. That's the God's honest truth. And notice in the verses that I read in Romans 12, every gift God has given you is purposed to help others. Every gift is designed for others. I can't say this enough. I can't say it's enough to break through the hardship. But I'm telling you, every gift, once deployed, helps you overcome your insecurities because you start to find the benefits that your gift has already purposed for the sake of others. Therefore, you receive the reward and overcome your insecurities. And we all want to overcome our insecurities, because it's our insecurities that cause us to have breakdowns. It's insecurities that cause us to have hemorrhages. It's insecurities that keep us sitting over there on the sidelines doing nothing. It's insecurities that hold us back from communicating. And a talent developed or a position desired for your own sake is the heart of the purpose test. This week I visited with a friend who was at this place in their life. And we were talking about bold moves and sacrifices. And I told him, I said, hey, listen, my wife and I, we've learned there is no bold move without a sacrifice. Because God will always lead us to a place where it's a time to let go of things that he actually blessed us with that were good for the past, but they're not his design, his heart. They're not great for you in the future. They're not even great for you in the present. And so if we're unwilling to put things on the altar of sacrifice for the sake of the Lord, then we're not prepared or ready for the bold things that he has going forward. So I can't hold on to the past and reach into the future. Paul literally says, letting go of things of the past so I can reach forward to the upward calling of God. And too many of us have traditionally and rote and religiously become in love with things of the past that were great for the season, but they're actually hindrances for the next. And here's an extra point. It's free. I usually do three. Here's four. Number four is determine your direction and be faithful. And be faithful. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift makes room for him. Do you know how it makes room for him? He discovers it. He puts it into use and develops it. He deploys it. People start to see and recognize. God begins to open up eyes that were before closed. And when the world is saying, sorry, that'll never do, it'll never work, God is saying, if you'll just do it this way, in my way, and you seek me through the process, I'll do anything and put my trump card on anything the world has said. And he'll lift every pain, and he'll deliver you from every situation, and he will cause the things that the world says and put a stamp on you to wash away, and he will give you a new name. He will rewrite everything in history. In fact, he will make your history disappear, because that's what God can do. And I can speak that with bold confidence. To find your purpose, we must be willing to persevere through adversity and trials. You can't flee when it gets tough. Otherwise, difficult situations will always be your bed. You'll be laying in a bed of situations, difficult situations, thinking you're running from them, but instead you're just burying yourself in them because you're unwilling to face them. And God already has a solution, and the only reason they still exist is because God is waiting for you to seek him for his solution for your situations and your problems. I'm going to give you a list of things a man went through, and I'm going to tell you who it is. At 22, he failed in business. At 23, he defeated a legislature. At 24, he failed in business again. At 26, his wife died. At 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At 29, he was defeated for speaker. At 31, he was defeated for elector. At 34, he was defeated for Congress. Many already gave up a long time ago. At 39, he was defeated for Congress again. At 46, he was defeated for Senate. For 47, he was defeated for Vice President. 49, defeated for Senate again. 51, he became our president. And Abraham Lincoln led us through the only civil war we've ever faced yet. That's the man I just read about. And he delivered this country from the worst atrocity we've ever experienced, and that was slavery. He stood up to the most difficult things in our nation's history. But notice how God prepared him, defeat after defeat after defeat. He was preparing him through every defeat. He's preparing him for a war against people who were enslaving others and doing evil. I wanted you to catch this similarity, because the very thing that you're going through and you've gone through and you've been through is preparation to develop you, to lead a war, to deliver people who have been in bondage and slavery for many years and all their lives. And the very things that you've gone through in every age, in every situation, if you don't allow it to keep you from going forward and walking in the fullness of what the designer has created you for, it is there no matter what to bring you to a place where you are using the God-given gifts and discovering your design so that you can be deployed yourself to deliver people who are in bondage and in slavery and far from God. In every doubt, in every fear, in every worry, in every concern, in everything inside of you that's trying to argue with that fact is the very thing that you're going to have to wrestle down and bring it, that high and lofty thing, and bring it into obedience of Christ. And it's in that place where you finally decide enough is enough, that God will bring his favor and his mercy and will rain down on heaven from heaven and to fulfill your tanks, fulfill your joy, fulfill your purpose, fulfill your calling, fulfill your vision. He'll give you more vision than you could ever imagine, because finally you're willing to let go of your way and improve his way. This is why we exist. This is why we're here. This is why this church started. This is why I live. This is why you live. It's not to sit around. It's not to lead people away and astray, but it's to lead people to him, his way, using his gifts that he's given us. So I just want to invite you into that. And I want you to notice that Joseph did not decide to not pursue God and his given purpose because of what others had done to him. He didn't make excuse. He didn't say, because I'm in prison. He didn't say, because I went to prison. He didn't say, because they lied about me. He didn't say, because I'm broke. He didn't say. He just sought God. And you can wash away every situation in your mind right now that is competing with what I'm saying and just start seeking God. And God, in every adversity, in every doubt, in every fear, in every anxiety, in every insecurity that I have, Lord, I just want to seek you. And I'm tired of those things. I'm done with them. They've never gotten me to any place that I find joy. And I'm done, and I need your solutions for just the next step of life. And Holy Spirit, what do you want me to deal with next? That's it. Can I lead you in that prayer right now? So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you speak the very things that I just spoke. Would you help any person that's in here that is struggling with anything that is hindering them from walking in the fullness of what you've created them for? Even the smallest thing, would you begin to highlight a solution and give them solution for the problem that's on their heart? And Holy Spirit, because that solution right there is impregnated with favor, I pray that you pour grace upon it with courage, a bold confidence for them to no longer waver in doubt, but for just one little thing, this one little thing that will start a revival in their lives. That you open the door that needs to be opened, or you shut the door that needs to be shut. And in the moment of giving them bold confidence to act upon the thing that you're placing on their heart, Lord, I pray that they understand your favor in the outcome of the situation. And no matter how they interpret it according to their wants, but instead they receive it with gratitude and humility and honor because they want your desires for their lives. So, Lord, on this day, our seventh birthday as a church, let it be that that right there, this whole story is what's birthed in this place and everyone who comes through this place in the decades to come. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Love you guys.